Well, Australia's population will hit the 25 million mark later tonight on the projections from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, a milestone reached in record time as net migration continues to outpace births. But as our population continues to grow, what kind of an impact will it have, particularly on our environment? In a moment, we'll talk to Ian Lowe. He's Emeritus Professor of Science, Technology and Society at Griffith University, and demographer Simone Alexander. But first, our reporter Sandra Siagian went to Sydney's Centennial Park to find out what people thought about Australia's population growth.
There's no question that as urban areas like this become more densely populated, we will have more difficulty in providing services for them. So transport, recreation, sport, medicine, those sort of things. There is just a tipping point where we exceed the capacity of the area to manage that.
Are you worried that we might not have enough space?
No, I must admit, I think that the space will expand and be developed, and as it has done over the last 20 years. But there needs to be control over things like these green spaces and so on, that they don't get impacted.
There's certainly plenty of space outside the major cities. The challenge is getting people to leave the cities and go and live in the regional areas.
I think there is space, but the key issue is sustainable growth. So ensuring that there's appropriate waste management in place, as well as transport, particularly trains and buses, that means that our roads aren't going to become really badly congested.
I would hate to see apartments being built up against this park. I would hate to see this park being compromised in any way. It is the only green space. And sometimes on the weekends there's a traffic jam in the park because it's just full.
Are you worried that our major cities could turn into really dense areas like Singapore or Hong Kong?
Yes, well, of course, that's a matter of planning. It doesn't have to be that way.
You'd hope that at some point the local governments would actually prevent those really dense, high-density places happening and building the infrastructure such that people can live there and get away from there and travel through there.
Some voices pondering population-related issues in very crowded Sydney today. Well, Ian Lowe from Griffith University and also the former president of the Australian Conservation Foundation and demographer Simone Alexander joined me earlier.
Sydney and Melbourne basically have populations of approximately 5 million. Sydney, of course, is the largest city, just over 5 million. Brisbane, about 2.5 million now. Perth has just hit 2 million as well. Adelaide is a bit smaller now at 1.3. And then you go down to other, you know, state capitals and the Gold Coast, of course, they're much smaller than that. So I think that's one of the key issues is the uneven distribution of population in Australia.
And is it all about new migrants, or is interstate migration playing a part in some of the pressures?
Okay, well, at the Australia level, obviously, interstate migration all adds up back to zero. So it really is that balance between what's called natural increase, which is the difference between births and deaths. So basically, Australia has natural increase in that there are more births than deaths, so the population will keep growing in the absence of any overseas migration. And of course, overseas migration is the other component of population change at the for Australia as a whole. And most of those people are coming to live in our cities. So that's really where you see the stresses on Sydney and Melbourne, and it's expressed in the views of the general population, as we heard.
Ian Lowe, the number 25 million, is it significant in any way in particular other than being a great headline?
No, there's nothing magic about that number. Mm. What it does reflect is the fact that the population has in the last decade increased faster than the most alarming of the Australian Bureau of Statistics projections. And that's because we have a natural increase of about 150,000 a year, as Simone said. But we also had in recent years about 250,000 net inward migration. So our population, which would be increasing by about 1 million every 7 years if we had no migration, is now increasing by about 1 million every 2.5 years. And that's causing the pressures that people are seeing in the large cities.
Is there a magic number, if you like? Do you think Australia, you know, should be at a certain point and then stop, or should we wind the population back?
Well, no species can increase without limit in a closed system. So we have to accept that at some point in the future, the population will stabilise. My view is that we should have a coherent policy that aims to stabilise it at a level that we can sustainably support, rather than have it increase until we see significant problems. if you look around the world, you see countries that have stabilised their population and can support them sustainably. And you see countries where there are very serious problems as a result of unlimited population growth causing an inability to provide food and other resources for the population, especially drinking water.
And so, Ian, in terms of better planning, dealing with the population we do have, your book in 2012 was called Bigger or Better. Is it a choice or can we have both?
Well, the more rapidly the population increases, the harder it is to provide the services that people expect. And I think the problem that the governments are facing is that people in particularly Sydney and Melbourne, but to a lesser extent also Brisbane and Perth, quite accurately perceive that their quality of life is going backwards because the infrastructure hasn't been expanded at the same rate as the population. So the roads are more crowded, the public transport is less adequate, it's harder to get the recreational services that people want. So that is a failure of planning. But it's also quite a fundamental issue that the population increase is putting demands on infrastructure that we just don't have the resources to provide. So a rational government would not simply be saying, as several recently have said, the bigger the better, assuming that population growth is an unmitigated benefit. They should be reflecting on the fact that people don't just judge their quality of life by how much money is in their pocket. They also judge it by how clean the air is, how easily they can get around, how easily their kids can get into school and so on.
Which I think is some of the views that we heard expressed earlier from on the streets. Ian, can you talk a little more about the environmental stresses? And I note that I think it was last year some scientists did some work and said, look, Australia should have a population of 15 million based on the water constraints alone. Is that accurate, for example?
That's about the level that could be sustainably supported at our current lifestyle. There's no doubt that you can cram more people in if they're prepared to accept a lower standard of living and a lower level of services. But the first national report on the state of the environment more than 20 years ago said that we're not living sustainably, that we had five serious problems, and they're all more or less proportional to how many of us there are and the material standard at which we live. And since then, every year the population has got larger, and every year on average our consumption per person has increased. So we're putting compounding pressure on natural systems, and we're seeing it in losing our unique biodiversity, the pressures on the coastal zone, rapidly increasing climate change as a result of greenhouse gas emissions and so on. So if we go on increasing the population at the current rate, we will go on damaging our environment at an ever-increasing rate.
So should Australia then have a better policy, and would a population policy be a better option? Simone, can I go to you with that first?
We have a de facto kind of population policy as it is in terms of the Commonwealth government sets migration quotas and so forth. I've never really been convinced of the debates around what, you know, because migration is just one part of the equation. What other policy levers do you pull? We've tried things like the baby bonus of the Costello years in when he was treasurer, had some impact possibly on the fertility rate, but overall I'm not really sure what frame a population policy would take in addition to some of the levers that we have now.
And Ian Lowe, a population policy, is it a practical thing? Should we have one?
Well, a lot of countries do. I mean, a population policy would have two components. One would be that we would set the migration level based on the principle that we want to stabilise our population at a level that can be sustainably supported. And that wouldn't mean pulling up the drawbridge, but it would mean lower levels of migration than we have at the moment. And we probably also should phase out the Howard Costello attempt to persuade women to have more children, because the natural increase has gone up from about 120,000 a year to about 150,000 a year. And it's not obvious that as a country, a high priority should be to increase the rate of population growth.
Ian Lowe from Griffith University, and before him, demographer Simone Alexander.